Okay, this is 24 August 78, and talking on the phone between Groningen and Max Planck Institute for Radio Astronomy in Bonn, where Ken Kellerman has lined up for me more or less the two Soviet radio astronomers, L.I. Matveyenko and N.S. Kardashev, and I'm going to do my best to interview them over the phone, perhaps with Ken's assistance, and I'll let you know who is who when it happens.
I listen to you.
Hello.
Hello.
This is talking with Kardashev now.
Kardashev speaking.
Yes. Now, what I would like to know are the sort of things which one cannot get from publications about the history of Soviet radio astronomy.
Please, if I remember about this.
Yes. And, for instance, I find that the first paper that you published in Radio Astronomy was in 1955.
Yeah.
About 3 centimeter observations of Cassiopeia A, Taurus A, and so forth.
Yes, yes.
Is this correct?
Yes, it was two publications about it. It was in Soviet Astronomical Journal and special book.
Right, the Trudy of that
yeah.
That conference in 1955.
Yeah, exactly,
right.
Yeah.
Now, can you tell me exactly what antenna were you using and where was it located, and can you tell me about who was in the group and so forth?
Yes. It was a 3-meter dish antenna.
Right.
Yes. It was Dax radiometer system. The place of this antenna near the Moscow.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and what additional equation was the group?
Right.
Yes.
Was Shlosky the head of the group?
Shklovsky also. Kajdanovsky.
Yes, yes.
Kajdanovsky is was co-worker Professor Haikin.
I see.
From the Lebedev Physical Institute.
Right.
Yes.
Now, who actually built the equipment for these observations?
Such a proposition was from Shklovsky, of course. He predicted that the unused gas must give continuum radio emission in radio waves.
And short wavelengths.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I was wondering, who built the equipment that you used?
Who built?
Yes.
It was prepared by Kajdanovsky and two people that I forgot. But the main chief was Kajdanovsky.
I see.
Yeah.
Now, was the usual practice in those days that there was one person that concentrated on building the equipment and another person that concentrated on the astronomy, or was it the same people who did both, so that a person would build his equipment, then take his observations, and then write a paper, or was it different people that did the two things?
We have such dividing. Shklovsky concentrated on theoretician predictions. And Kajdanovsky and two people concentrated on the preparing equipment, and myself concentrating on observation and processing.
I see.
Result.
And is this typical of the way Soviet radio astronomy was done at that time?
But it's possible in other situation, but for initial stage, it was really a situation.
I'm sorry, what did you say? It was
the initial stage in our country. It was usual situation, but now it's possible.
Right, but I'm talking about then, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, did you know about the as you took these observations in 1954-55? Did you know about the work that was going on at the Naval Research Laboratory in America at a very similar sort of work?
No, we have not directly contact with U.S. It was independently.
I see.
Yeah.
Were you reading the Western journals in astronomy, or were you pretty much operating entirely separated?
I think also we have small contact only. Only after publication it was possible.
I see, only after publication.
Yeah, yeah.
But you were reading the journals, like...
Yes, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, I'd like to ask you about this 1955 meeting on problems in cosmology, which covered pretty much all aspects of Soviet radio astronomy, I believe.
Yeah.
Could you tell me... Now, who organized that meeting, and what was the purpose of it, and any memories that you have?
Probably organized by Astronomical Council.
Yes.
Of Soviet Union.
Right.
And probably, if you have this book, on the first page must be writing about who prepared it.
Yes, yes.
Yes, I forgot, of course.
But do you have any memories of this meeting? Was it an important meeting for the development of Soviet radio astronomy, would you say, or?
Yes, it was first big meeting for in the direction of radio astronomy, and about this year was organized a special Radio Astronomical Council in our country.
I see. Separate from the optical astronomy.
Separate, yes, yes.
And this was about the same time as this meeting. Do you remember what the main issues of discussion were at this meeting? What were the main problems that people were interested in?
I think it very many problem connect with solar astronomy in this meeting. Very many. And about the moon radio emission.
Right.
It was starting...
Troitsky was working on it.
Troitsky and Gorky group.
Right.
Yes, many work. And... very little work in the for the distant sources.
It's for the radio sources, yeah.
Yeah, for the radio sources, very little.
Why was that?
It's we have only small radio telescopes for.
I see.
This problem is
right.
Very difficult.
Right, you needed larger telescopes. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, that brings me to another question. It seems that many of the main contributions of the Soviets in the 1950s were in the theory rather than in the observations.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you could comment on that. Was there a definite decision made that Soviet radio astronomers would concentrate on theory, or what was the reason for this?
It seems me you maybe market two direction. It's many astronomers have initially very big interest to radio astronomy problem.
Yes.
It was about 1954. Shklovsky at the Moscow University starting special course at the university for the students and for the scientific people.
I see, in radio astronomy.
Especially in radio astronomy.
I see.
It was very popular course, and many people from another institute participant in this seminar.
I see, that's interesting.
Yes. And the same time, Ambar Tsumyan, the Armenian observatory,
right,
was also very interesting to the problem radio astronomy and start small radio observatory near the Burakan Observatory.
Right.
Also. And second direction is many physicists and radio physicists also connect, like in U.S. and
right.
other countries, also concentrated on radio astronomy.
So people like Ginsberg, you mean?
Yes, for physicists, it firstly was Ginsberg, and Kaiken, Professor Kaiken.
Kaiken, yes.
Yes, he also half theoretician. People, he was expert in mechanics problem, and not only in radio physics.
Right.
And also was professor Moscow University.
I see.
Before, yes.
But so you're saying then that the leaders in the field were more physicists and astronomers.
Yeah.
They were not radio engineers.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. How did they find somebody to build the equipment for them? Did they go to the electrical engineering department at the university and try to find somebody to interest them, or?
Yes, it's both possibilities. It's, I think at the physical institute, Lebedev Physical Institute, was very good radio laboratory that connect with problem radio spectroscopy.
Ah, yes.
Before
of nuclei. Yes,
it's the same laboratory that was connected with Basov and Prokhorov that now is Nobel Prize people.
Yes.
And he have very good traditions in radio spectroscopy that immediately may be connected with radio astronomy.
I see.
And first observation for 21 centimeter also was reported in this laboratory.
I see. Who was that? What people were?
The main people who connect with 21 centimeter observation is Tikhachev and Sorochenko.
Oh yes, right. And so they had the knowledge to build the equipment because of their background in this laboratory.
Yeah.
Right. Were there any people who were trained as radio engineers who got interested in the astronomy as the years went by? You know, in the West, that was usually what happened. People were trained as radio engineers, and then they gradually became radio astronomers.
Yeah.
But this did this happen at all in the Soviet Union?
I'm sorry, repeat it, please.
Well, in the West, what usually happened is that a person would be trained as an electrical engineer or a radio physicist, and then he would begin doing some radio astronomy observations, and gradually he became more and more of an astronomer.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering, did this happen in the Soviet Union also?
Yes, of course. It's, Sorochenko Tikhachev also was radio engineering
right.
before. And in Gorky group also, Troitsky, and many other people was before radio engineering.
I see. So it did happen, but maybe not quite as often as in the West, or since... Would you say that it was the usual case, or it was, you know, what fraction of the people would you say had an engineering background as opposed to a science background?
I think most part of the people was before radio engineering.
Most of them?
Only a small part was astronomer.
I see.
Very small part.
What, can I ask you, what was your training in the university?
Yeah.
What field did you train in?
In astronomy.
In astronomy,
yes.
I see. And that was at Moscow University?
Yes, yes.
Right.
I study and finish at Moscow University at 55, together with Parisky, who is also now radio astronomer.
Right, right. And when did you get your degree at Moscow University?
First degree about 62.
62.
Second degree about 64.
I see. Okay, well, now I'd like to ask you also about the recombination line suggestion,
yes,
of course, which
yes.
You published in 1959.
Yes.
Can you tell me how did this idea come to you, and just tell me what you thought about it at that time?
Yes. It connects with many ideas from the Professor Shklovsky.
I see.
He have very great interest to the different lines connected with different atoms,
right,
or molecules, and I was postgraduate Shklovsky. Shklovsky was my teacher.
Right.
Yes, and I read the article of the Wild.
Oh yes, I know that article about Zeeman splitting.
Yes.
Oh no, you mean the one in 1952, in Astrophysical Journal.
Yes. And after it, I attempt to calculate what the probability such process for highest atomic levels.
Right.
And simultaneously, I observed on 21 centimeter at the Kremi Observatory, together with Sarachenko, Chikhachev, and others. And simultaneously, I calculate the probability of this transition.
I see. You were trying to find a recombination line at 21 centimeters?
No.
Or looking for the
hyperbolic? I only calculated how it's possible.
Oh, I see.
And discussed with Shklovsky, and Shklovsky think that very small probabilities is very small population of such very high levels.
Right.
Yes.
But you were observing the hyperfine line of hydrogen at that same time.
Yeah,
is that what you're saying?
Yeah, at the same time.
I see.
Yes.
And so you...
I calculated about about 1 year. I prepared this theoretician calculation, and after it, this question was discussed on the IAU meeting, the Moscow.
In 58. That would be right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Now, did you give a paper at that meeting?
Not the special paper, but it's unofficially. I talk about only with on the special radioastronomical session.
I see.
And additionally discuss with many radioastronomers possibilities to observe this.
I see. So you talked to Commission 40 then? Informally.
Yeah, exactly.
And did you find much response that this was a good idea, or?
Yes, of course. Many people think that it's possible to observe, and after it, about 5 or 10 people sent me letters that he prepared similar observation in U.S.
Right, but now it took 4 or 5 years, though, before the line was discovered, did it not?
Yeah.
Why did it take so long?
What?
It was not until 1964, I believe,
yes,
or 63, that the recombination line was detected.
Yes.
Why was there this 5-year period? Why did it take so long?